All right, I call this meeting of Lincoln County Board of Commissioners to order. This is Wednesday, February 7th, 9:30 a.m., and we are in the Lincoln County Courthouse. First item on the agenda is to establish a quorum, and we have all three commissioners present. Next item on the agenda is recognition and proclamations, and we have the honor of recognizing one employee today who's been with us, an employee, for 5 years, and that would be Benjamin Cloud, but I sense Benjamin is not in the audience. So we will tell Benjamin we have a certificate, and we have a 5-year pin, and it will be available through the personnel department, and we appreciate his service to our county and to our citizens, and look forward to seeing him again here in 5 years for a 10-year anniversary. So with that, we'll move on to new hire introductions, and I do see some in the audience. So ladies and gentlemen, come on down. I see Bridget there. Do you want to do the introductions, or
I'll let them introduce themselves. So if you guys want to let them know your name, your position, maybe how long you've been here.
Okay. I'm John Coffey. I'm a case manager at Lee Street Clinic, adult mental health. Been here, I started December 4th.
All right.
I'm Robin Fox. I'm a nurse practitioner in adult mental health as well, and I've been here 2.5 weeks.
All right.
I'm Sarah Hurd. I am on 9th Street with the Children and Family Services as the care coordinator, and I started a week ago Monday.
All right.
Welcome to all of you.
All three of you, welcome, yeah. And come back and see us again soon.
Thank you.
Sure.
And we hope to see you here in 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, together, quick photo.
Here, I'll stand in the back.
There you go. All right, thanks for Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, next item on the agenda would be the adoption of the consent calendar. These are items that are of a routine nature or have been before us before. Is there any item a commissioner or staff wish to highlight? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion.
I would move that the consent calendar be approved as presented.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And motion carries. All right, we'll move along, and next item on our agenda is elected officials and department director reports, and I believe we have a Department of Forestry report. Come on down. There's Matt. I recognize you both. And for the record, please introduce yourself.
Will do. Good morning, commissioners. For the record, Mike Toady. I'm the West Oregon District Forester for the Oregon Department of Forestry. I have with me here Matt Thomas, our Protection Unit Forester from the current Toledo unit here.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're here just for a couple of purposes this morning. We do an annual, just an update to keep you informed of what's going on with our agency, the district, and the natural resource community in general here in the Lincoln County area, and then we've also got another item of business here for you today with the County Community Wildfire Protection Plan with an update with that. So I will kind of cover some general information for you here, an update on the state forest program and the private forest program. Then I'll kind of turn it over to Matt to update you on the fire protection program and step away and let Jenny Damaris come up and sit in my spot here for the Community Wildfire Protection Plan update. So,
very good.
I will keep my thoughts and comments brief, but I'm willing to talk as long as you want on anything that you want to talk about here. So I can, if I get too long-winded, you just wave me off there, Chair.
Fair enough.
Reflecting back in the last year, 2017 was another very busy year for the Oregon Department of Forestry. We had a very challenging fire season statewide. Fortunately, it was relatively mild for the most part for the West Oregon District, but it tapped out our resources. We spent an extraordinary amount of money again on resources to fight fires around the state, and a lot of folks from this district were engaged throughout the summer, not only here on the West Oregon District, but across the state there. And some of those bigger fires that were in the news all summer, we had staff on those committed quite frequently along the way there. So I have one handout for you, and it's something that I don't normally, by way of a district update, I seldom offer up in one of our organization charts for you, but the primary purpose I wanted to get that in front of you was we have, out of our Toledo office, a relatively high amount of turnover here that's taken place there, and specifically a couple of folks who aren't here with me today, but I wanted to introduce their names are Joe Cock and Andrew Arvin, and they're the stewardship foresters for us here in Lincoln County. So those are the frontline foresters out working with landowners, people conducting commercial forest operations out in the environment there to make sure that they understand the forest practices rules and that they're in compliance with those, and we're out there working with those folks directly, protecting resources and helping landowners meet their objectives. So,
and Mike, could I jump in with a question on that? Wasn't one of those stewardship forester positions threatened potentially with a budget reduction last year, and our board to help advocate with some other folks? And,
yeah, I appreciate that.
Position?
Yeah,
because I think we all appreciate probably the other guys more than I, you know, that's a big task, a lot of ground to cover, and I'm sure two guys have their hands full, and if it had just been reduced to one, that would not have been good.
Clearly that is the case, and I do remember and reflect back on the letter that you offered there for the Ways and Means, and was part of the record there, and those types of inputs from our county partners and local constituents, when the state forester is up in front of the legislature there talking about our budget and our needs there, resonate very, very well. And your success in that arena is our success as well. So it's
glad to provide that support.
Yeah, very, very helpful. So other parts of that org chart there, all the folks in the green boxes there are our state forest folks that manage some of the state forest stuff. And I'll jump into state forest here in just a minute, but I've got just a couple of other things here in terms of a district update. Kind of the biggest workings that we have as an agency in the forest arena typically center around water and water protection. Those are continuing to be kind of high-pointed issues for us, and Matt and I are engaged in the Midcoast Water Planning Partnership meetings, DEQs, TMDL process, things of that nature. So those are big items for us, and we continue to be engaged. I'll talk in a little bit about our private forest program, and currently the market conditions for selling timber are very good, and so that keeps Matt and Joe and Andrew very busy in those arenas, so you're seeing quite a bit of that, favorable market conditions with that. And a big one for us right now is we're still exploring the potential for a new compound. So moving out of Toledo there, potentially, we will maintain a presence in Lincoln County with our staff here, Matt and his staff, and we're co-locating with the Oregon Department of Transportation. And that's a process. We're exploring sites for that right now. There's some needs for that, and hopefully, you know, some of that will start to gel up, and we'll have some better, more clear information for you here about this time next year about potentially where we might be and how that process is going to go. But co-locating a couple of agencies who both have needs for a new location, it makes a lot of sense for us all to get together, and the folks who helped fund us understood that as well. So our portion of that will be done through the sale of bonds that will eventually pay back through landowner assessments and that. So that's taken up a lot of Matt's time right now in planning, and I think you'll hear more and more from us on that. So
I'll back up a little bit. You were talking about the market conditions mm-hmm. being favorable. I guess I could say it's probably, well, I'd like to know the factors. Are they domestic, international? How does that mix fit together?
So primarily domestic is the driver that we're seeing right now for the local timber and henceforth the lumber market. So if we look, so in 2017, roughly, there were about in the area of 1.3 new home construction projects going on. That number typically averages in a good year around 1 million home starts, so that increase in construction drives that lumber market. We look at housing starts as a primary economic indicator for the timber industry there, and so that in itself has driven the log prices up. So as we harvest timber, and I'll talk about that here in a second with state forests, you know, we're seeing better prices for that, and it's just simply a supply and demand thing. There's some other challenges in the arena right now in terms of capacity and capacity in terms of loggers, operators to move the wood. And talking to some of the folks who own and run the milling operations manufacturing side, even finding capacity, skilled capacity to run multiple shifts in some of those situations there too. So
tight labor market.
Yeah, very good. So that capture that.
Very good. Thank you.
So I'll talk a little bit here next about our state forest program. And just by reminder, we manage about 20,000 acres of state forest lands here in Lincoln County. About 15,500 of those are what we call Board of Forestry lands, and those are lands as we generate revenue. The lion's share of that comes to the county and local taxing districts. If we look, reflect over the last 5 years, we're averaging generating a little over $1.25 million per fiscal year to Lincoln County. And just those numbers are highly variable based on a number of factors. The timber market, our timber sale plan, and as the purchasers of those timber sales harvest the timber, that revenue comes in at different times. So,
and you may have said this, but to again clarify for maybe the listeners or the viewers, if the timber isn't harvested in our county, we're not the recipient of revenue. So
that's correct.
We're not always cutting the same number of trees within the county borders.
Right. Right. So, you know, if we look across the entire West Oregon district, we only manage about 36,000 acres. So the majority of the acres that we manage are in Lincoln County. But, for instance, here a couple years back, there was a severe ice storm in Benton County, and we did a lot of salvage logging, so that harvest kind of shifted to Benton County momentarily while we addressed those concerns. Now we're back more in our normal harvest schedule, and I'll touch on that here. So as we sell our timber sales, we typically give the purchaser of those sales a couple of years to harvest those, and it's really up to their discretion about when they do it. We may have timing restrictions about time of year where they can operate. That'll come in at different times, and that makes it difficult for us to project and predict exactly when that revenue is going to come to the county, and even in our share for that. But by way of an example, even though we over the 5 year average we've averaged, you know, a little over $1.25 million years, the first two quarters of this year we've already generated over $1.75 million to Lincoln County and your local taxing district. So some of that's reflective of the timber sales we have operating right now, and so they're logging and that revenue is coming in. And some of that's reflective of the better market, so we're getting more for our wood than we normally would in the past. So looking forward, I think if I had to predict anything, we're still anticipating another $1 million to come into Lincoln County and the taxing districts. Over that, actually, $1.1 million is our current estimate here for the last two quarters of this fiscal year. In the current fiscal year we're operating, we're going to sell four more timber sales in Lincoln County. And as we're projecting into next year's harvest plan, we're looking at four more sales there. So in terms of the volume that we're harvesting, it should be fairly stable. But we have little control over the market price we get for those, and only a little bit of control over the timing of that. So we'll see that kind of, I'd like to say it's going to come in steady, but as we've seen over the years, it kind of ebbs and flows and peaks and flows on that. The only other thing I was going to touch on here with Lincoln County was, you know, with the ordinance that was passed that bans aerial application, you know, that has driven our costs up to manage those lands on all of our behalf there. And that's an additional cost that we've incurred, and we've talked about that a little bit there, and I would like to kind of continue that conversation into the future. I understand that that's, you know, currently in the court system there, and it's beyond the scope of this conversation here today. But there's certainly been a noticeable financial impact to our agency as we manage those lands on the behalf of the citizens here. Okay, with that, I'm going to move into the private forest program a little bit. And the private forest program is where we administer the Oregon Forest Practices Act. I introduced our new stewardship foresters, or at least gave you their names. Mm-hmm. Talked about the market conditions there. So in kind of an average year, we would average probably just between 550 and 600 notifications. So if someone wants to do a commercial harvest activity on their property or build a road affiliated with commercial forest land, they have to notify our department. That's done electronically through a web-based system there. And that gives us the chance to evaluate those operations and make sure that they're going to follow the rules and protect resources out there, water, wildlife habitat, things of that nature out there. Last year, notification numbers were up to over 650, and I think some of that's indicative of those market conditions that are out there. And I would anticipate, so long as this market holds up, kind of operating at that same level. We've got both industrial large landowners and a lot of small private landowners here that we work with in the county, so there's a mix of both of those. The industrial landowners typically have a fairly stable harvest amount that they do with their long-term planning. It's the small woodland owners that only harvest periodically. I think we're seeing those folks taking advantage of the good market conditions here, and that's some of those conditions coming up there. And I already kind of talked about the water quality things and some of those issues coming up there. So one of the things that we saw with the legislative session last year in 2017 was a lot of sensitivity around pesticide use in the forest environment, and you saw that here in Lincoln County as well. And so there has been a system if a landowner, a neighbor wanted to know what their landowner was doing in terms of commercial forest activity, where they could subscribe was a terminology. And there was a fee-based system where they would come into our office, subscribe to those processes, and then we would tell them as notifications came in and they'd get a copy of that. That also last year converted to an electronic process. So, and it's free now, so virtually any citizen can go on, register in the system, and then identify the areas they're interested in, and they would get electronically notified through that process there. So,
is that through the state website?
It is, yeah. It's called the FERN system. It's FERNS is the acronym for it, but if you log onto the Oregon Department of Forestry website, you can navigate to that. So, okay. Or contact Matt here at the local office, and they'll help you through that process. Any questions on any of that? I'm cruising along pretty quickly here. So with that, I think...
Cruising,
yeah. With that, I will turn over a protection update to Matt and yield my seat to Jenny Damaris, the County Emergency Manager.
I guess, sir. I'm not sure which one wants to answer this question. I'm concerned over federal management of land of not harvesting timber and going to late succession forestry. And if you look at the numbers, the burn rate on federal land is far, far exceeds what state and private land is. Is there any discussion between agencies, because your timber is a threat to their policy? Is there any discussion between federal and state agencies, especially now highlighted because of the carbon tax credit proposals, that we can
see anything change? I can speak a little bit to those discussions that go on. Certainly the federal land planning processes are substantially different than that we use for either private lands or in our case, state forest lands. We all know public forest land management can be pretty contentious at times with different values being represented from different stakeholders. I've been practicing that line. That's why I know. So,
very well worded.
Thank you, Commissioner. So by way of those conversations, so certainly the Board of Forestry that governs all forest lands in Oregon, there's a specific subcommittee, the Federal Forest Land Committee, that tries to work and influence those policies to the extent that they can. I could only offer my perspective to say that we've had little influence on that. The conversations around wildfire are front and center this year, particularly after the summer that we saw last year. And that centers around everything from land management to responses to fire, impacts of smoke to our communities and public health, things of that nature. So when we look at large fires like Eagle Creek and the Columbia River Gorge and Chetco Bar in southwest Oregon, those had major impacts to not just the federal lands, but all the surrounding lands. And we talk about the terminology we use there is transfer of risk. So if you're doing something on your property that creates a risk, and then that risk, therefore, is transferred to my property because of either an activity you're doing or inactivity, that's where those conversations are starting. That's a really indirect answer to a direct question, Commissioner.
Actually, you've answered the question because there is some work about it. I'm concerned
when we start talking about tax credits and charging industry, and our goal is to reduce carbon to protect the oceans and the atmosphere, and acid ocean acidification and things like that, that when we get into these kinds of conversations and you see we're going to tax ourselves, prevent carbon going into the air, if we take the numbers that, I don't know if they're accurate, but there was 3 million cars worth of carbon burned off federal lands, and now we're going to tax people for it. There seems to be an inequity unless we all get together and start to pull on the same page. That doesn't mean we want to destroy old growth forests, but we need to have conversations about what is the most potentially good for the atmosphere and our livability of this state. I want to make sure those conversations are being held at some level, because it doesn't seem to be happening in the state. They just want to move forward. And so it has to be forced by, I guess, the citizens to say, wait a minute, let's talk about how to really do the whole project rather than one part of it.
Right. They are public lands. So if the citizens and all were involved in those discussions, that you know, theoretically, they're going to drive the direction of the management of those lands.
Theoretically.
The stakeholders and interested parties are the ones that, you know, the decision makers are hearing from on those.
Well, clearly. And to expand on Commissioner Thompson's comments, there are really two aspects of the carbon sequestration in trees is very effective up to a point, but as those trees age, then that effectiveness becomes actually detrimental or counterproductive. And then the other aspect is, of course, the fires. When you burn the trees, not only are those trees no longer available to help with the carbon dioxide issue, but you create more carbon dioxide by burning them.
Yeah, so, and that's the most visible, obvious thing that we're seeing there. When Oregon's burning 750,000 acres every year, that's a substantial impact to whether we're talking carbon or public safety or any of those elements.
That's a point.
So, and one final comment. You see the input places a lot of times quicker than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see us work together, county and state forest lands, because we're partners, to be a part of that conversation, to talk about better forest managements, looking at forest fires. That's what happened last year. So anytime you see where we could put input, letters, points, I'm sure we'd like to be involved.
Well, I certainly can commit to doing that between myself and Matt, and keeping the commission here engaged and involved as those situations come up. Association of Oregon Counties is generally pretty involved at, you know, a broader level there in terms of specifically with the ONC lands from the Bureau of Land Management. But I think there's room to expand that conversation to the Forest Service lands as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So now I will yield my seat to
They're having a dialogue.
Not to Jenny. They're pointing at each other. I'll let them decide who's going to come out.
Okay. Follow up with
that. Thank you, Mark.
Look how shy she is.
All right. Once again, good morning, commissioners. Matt Thomas, a unit forester here in Toledo. I'll kind of go through a little bit of our statistics from this last fire season. As Mike mentioned earlier, you know, locally here was very quiet. That's how we like it. We didn't have a fire of the same scope and scale here that we did in the 2016 season right there in Depot Bay. So, that's what we strive for every year is to, you know, the fires we do have is to put them out small. And locally here, we were successful last year in doing so. We had 9 fires requiring action, very little acreage burned, and a total of 22 total fire runs. So it wasn't a super active year, but the potential certainly was there. We were just over 100 days for our fire season, so we started the official fire season July 3rd and ended October 11th. So that's pretty average from what we're seeing lately. Just kind of that July to mid-October range there. So, you know, we weren't super busy locally here, but as Mike mentioned, we had folks gone all summer, whether it was Charlie Redheffer, our protection supervisor, or folks on our crew on engines or other overhead positions at Eagle Creek or Chetco or Whitewater, some of those big fires that were on the landscape throughout the state.
This may be a difficult question to answer, but ballpark, how much time, manpower did the Toledo unit give or share with these other districts that were fighting those big fires?
Hours wise, it's hard, you know, because they're working different shifts, I guess. But
I know it's a big commitment. You're a relatively small unit.
Charlie was gone on two of those fires for around a week and a half. So, you know, 2 to 3 weeks for Charlie, and then various engines for 4 or 5 days here and there. So, you know, maybe another week and a half of man time for those folks as well.
Well, and since you're sitting next to our emergency manager, I know it wasn't only the Forest Department individuals, but I know Jenny spent some time and other people from the county fighting those fires.
Yeah, our fire districts, they took a big hit, too, to go help the other communities.
But I think it's important to note that we're out there supporting the other counties in those efforts, too. So go ahead.
As you guys were fully aware of, the big thing we had on our plate last year was the eclipse. And just planning for the eclipse and trying to plan around an event with a lot of unknowns. We were fully engaged with Jenny, and that ate up a bunch of time, but I think as a district, so not only were we planning locally here with our local county emergency, but Mike and Ted and the rest of my district, we were planning with our statewide partners for our district, and locally here, I think we put together a pretty good effort to where we made sure those were the times. We didn't send folks out, so we were fully staffed here on the West Oregon District to make sure we could take care of anything that did come about. So not only did we have our normal staffing in each of the three units, but we did have some extra stuff as well. And some of that was some statewide severity resources that we were fortunate enough to house. We had some logistical stuff set up. But they were available. They were statewide resources, but we had access to them. Luckily, honestly, I don't think in that kind of that week planning period we had any spike in fire responses. It was relatively quiet. The risk was still there, though. It was hot. It was dry. It was August. As you guys know, it was August 21st, and August 20th was the date of the 2500 road fire. So this coming summer, it looks like April out there right now. So who knows, where we're going to be come, the later part of June and end of July. We'll see when we get there. But we will have our normal crew this year, so no reduction in our seasonal fire crew at all. And that's a total of two forest officers, which are kind of our engine crew people, as well as they enforce the ORSs and OARs in the fire prevention realm. And then six firefighters as well. So no change there. Kind of jumping down to some of our community wildfire program stuff, we have two specific grant areas here in Lincoln County. One is in Salishan, the other is in kind of the Harlan area, and those are Western States grants that are for fuels reduction around homes mostly. So we start kind of around the homes and work out from there. Just recently, we've expanded the Harlan area to the Sillettes Logsdon area as well, basically taking in Sillette's rural fire protection district boundaries, and have gotten quite a bit of interest in that area to do some fuels reduction work. So that's all I've got. We can jump to Jenny and Anno for the CWPP and where we're at with that. Unless you guys got some questions.
Questions, Commissioner?
So I think Anno and I just want to give you a quick update on our Community Wildland Fire Protection Plan. It's actually a plan that resides under the Natural Hazards Mitigation Plan under the Planning Department, and the Planning Department actually took the role with Oregon Department of Forestry being the primary content reviewer of that plan. The original plan was in 2010, and we worked for probably about 4 or 5 months last year during winter and the beginning of spring.
Because we're obligated once every 5 years, to once it was originated, and then for every 5 years, we're supposed to do an update of that plan. So by the time you get it done, it's time to do it again, right?
Yeah.
Paint the bridge, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So this is the second. We've completed our second, our update, mm-hmm. and then this piece, which is a very increasingly important piece, is an addendum to what is the update of the Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Right.
So this is we're nearly done.
Yeah, so the next piece, both Anno and I experienced staffing changes at the end of that review process, so there was a little delay in bringing it to you guys for the final review. So this next week we have a final review with our partners from state, federal, local, give them one last chance to look at that, and then we'll submit that to legal counsel for their initial stamp. They'll come to you for your initial review, and then the final review, and then we'll go about getting all the final signatures, and that will be made a public document. And when we bring that forward, we'll talk to you just a little bit about the public comments and that we were required to do that took place last year.
Very good. Any questions? Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Very
important information. All right. The next item would be reports from commissioners. Commissioner Thompson.
The legislature's amazing, this guy. It's like a legislature on steroids over there. It's literally a hearing all the time I could attend. I've been there now since basically it started. It's going to be an amazing process. It's got a lot of brains that hang on a letter, but you can't keep up. There's so many bills that are important that are moving in such a short time frame. It's like nothing I've seen before.
Commissioner Thompson, would you share with folks the chance that you had to tell our success story on Monday with the use of video lottery money?
Well, video lottery money is really important to us. It's the economic development money that we use for these small grants. It stimulated things like NOAA. It stimulated small projects like Depot Bay, Fuel Docks. It's Logsdon. There's a little kitchen that was created so they could start small businesses up there, libraries, multiple uses. That we used it to stimulate the Hatfield Marine Science Center expansion. That's just some of them I can think of off the top of my head. And so I told the story. It was three of us there, and we had a great response. What they're trying to do is stabilize the funds more. We've had a decline in recent years because of a legislative change, and they're trying to remove that legislative change and go back to the. So we'll have, it isn't a huge amount of money, but it's an increase of a few thousand dollars more that gives us a chance to have more projects on the grounds. And our county, I think, has been one of the most successful. We also helped the small business at the community college, their program.
The small business.
Yeah. And all these things have made us an unusual county, and we've had a lot of growth, and I think a lot of it leads back to this little grant, simply because when you use the grant like we do, it shows all the other funding sources that they have public support.
And that's huge. I mean, that's like Steve Wyatt at the Historical Museum, I think we only did $5,000 out of that fund to them, and then they got some City of Newport money, but he said once he could go to private funders and show that it had city and county support, then the big dollars started rolling in.
Right, and so we have a reputation of getting out of the starting blocks a lot quicker than other counties because of this fund. So that's what I was there testifying, and I, going by body language, you never know how the votes, because it hadn't gone to a work session yet, but going by the body language, I think we're in good shape.
Well, lottery dollars, too, are the source of the economic development grants, which we approved, I believe, a couple of weeks mm-hmm. ago, which was about $103,000 total mm-hmm. overall, so good work.
Then I guess I'll go ahead and
sure.
expand on a little more. Yesterday, I was headed back here. I was in Corvallis, and I got a call from Jeff Merkley, our congressman, wanted some comments to be put on the Senate floor. And so I, sitting there in the car, and I just did it off the top of my head. And it was his final comments in the speech, which he gave at 1 o'clock, which I happened to see. And then at 2 o'clock, since I was back in the Capitol, I attended the rally on the steps for the offshore oil drilling is what this is about. And there's, I think, both places they were accepted well. But the problem is, Bohms has its authority, and at the same time, they had a hearing over in the Red Lion. But I think the word got to them that a lot of people in the state of Oregon are really upset over this. And I'll make the comment that I said earlier. I think the president doesn't get it. He's a president of the whole United States, and in this state, we consider our environment very extremely important. It seems like to me that his attitudes seem to only be expressed from the East Coast and Texas. So, not that I'm that political, I just wish he'd get more involved to realize that different states in the United States have a different set of priorities.
Well said.
Mr. Chair, I was in Salem yesterday morning. The Oregon Housing Alliance asked me to actually be their lead-off presenter for the House Bill 4007, which is really the main bill related to housing in this legislature. It allows people to set up special savings accounts for first time who want to become first-time homebuyers. The other feature of it is an increase in the document recording fee with all that money, an estimated $50 million a year if it goes at the proposed level into the three existing funding streams to create housing or assist people in becoming homebuyers or to assist families in certain emergency homeless situations. You know, AOC is neutral on the bill. I made that clear that I was simply testifying as an individual commissioner and housing advocate. The realtors, at least at the moment, are neutral on the bill, which I think is a big thing. Our County Clerks Association is not in favor of it, but the sense I was getting both from the reaction of the committee and just some of the people I talked to in the halls is they feel it has a good shot of passing, maybe not at the dollar level initially proposed, that there might be some give and take on that, but you know, just some more tools to try and help deal with this problem. Again, some, you know, it's, some people ask me, oh, are we going to build a bunch of new government housing? No. I mean, some of it may go to housing authorities, but hopefully the bulk of it will provide incentives to private developers to create housing at market rates. I mean, not at market rates, but at moderate and low income rates.
Exactly.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
Commissioners, can I just a couple of quick announcements? My office has been working for a number of months on a couple of large projects that we're going to be completing very quickly here. One is the update of the Lincoln County Code, the 2018 version of the County Code, which takes all the ordinances we've adopted since the last time we've updated the code and puts them inside the code, will be completed. It's actually out for review right now and will be published within the not-too-distant future. We do put the county code on the county website for folks to look at, as well as in a number of other public arenas. So that will be completed. Second is that we've done an update to the personnel rules, and we'll be presenting those to you actually on the 28th of February for formal adoption by the board. So two large projects that our office has been involved in that are coming to fruition.
Very good. All right, I just might quickly note that while I was gone, I had several conversations regarding the Maritime Task Force that was created by the legislature last year, and I did receive an email asking me if I would serve on that task force, which, of course, I will do. But the important news is that at least appointments are finally being made six, seven, 8 months after the bill was passed and signed by the governor.
Hey, so that's the state moving at lightning speed.
You know, it's the end result. We're getting our task force created, and it's an important step. And then very quickly, I'll be visiting with the governor Monday, two purposes, to represent the regional solutions conveners, and then afterward there's a reception for the Regional Solutions Advisory Committee members, which I am also a member of, so I'll be spending a little bit of time with our governor on Monday. So,
excellent.
Any other reports? If not, any constituent input? Opportunity to address the commissioners for up to 5 minutes. Seeing no one come forward, our next meeting of the Board of Commissioners will be on Wednesday, February 14th at 9:30 a.m. That not only is Valentine's Day, but I believe it's the birthday of our state. So
it is.
With that, we're adjourned.